From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the third judge, a man named Shamgar. Mentioned only briefly in the Bible, Shamgar delivered Israel from bondage to the Philistines using the simplest of instruments, an ox goad. In beginning this message, Dr. Cairns described the terrible conditions of Shamgar's day. It was a time of spiritual declension and much violence. Things were so bad that people were afraid to travel on the highways. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, it was the spiritual apostasy of Israel that brought them to this sad state. The country was so black by this time that all hope seemed to be gone. Yet, in the midst of those conditions, God raised up one man who was burdened for the honor of the Lord, and he acted by faith to achieve a great deliverance. This is the crying need in our day as well. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, Little is Much When God is in It. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is entitled, Let Trials Bless. The text is found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. This is a promise in essence, if not in form. We have need of patience, and here we see the way of getting it. It is only by enduring that we learn to endure, even as by swimming men learn to swim. You could not learn that art on dry land, nor learn patience without trouble. Is it not worthwhile to suffer tribulation for the sake of gaining that beautiful equanimity of mind which quietly acquiesces in all the will of God? Yet our text sets forth a singular fact, which is not according to nature, but is supernatural. Tribulation in and of itself worketh petulance, unbelief, and rebellion. It is only by the sacred alchemy of grace that it is made to work in us patience. We do not thresh the wheat to lay the dust, yet the flail of tribulation does this upon God's floor. We do not toss a man about in order to give him rest, and yet so the Lord dealeth with his children. Truly, this is not the manner of men, but greatly redounds to the glory of our all-wise God. Oh, for grace to let my trials bless me! Why should I wish to stay their gracious operation? Lord, I ask thee to remove my affliction, but I beseech thee 10 times more to remove my impatience. Precious Lord Jesus, with thy cross engrave the image of thy patience on my heart.
Seems like a tempest when the waves.
The greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
For a moment want to be simplistic, and I don't want ignore whatever evidence there is that social and economic deprivation can lead to violence and all gang warfare and drugs and all the rest of it. Yet at the end of the day, I believe that the greatest contributory factor to the violent society in which we live is the declension in the spiritual and moral fiber of the nation. I resent it as the theory of a bunch of atheistic sociologists who know nothing of reality to try to say that because people are poor, they're bound to be violent. I don't believe it. I resent it because I was born poor, and I am not ashamed of that. Not particularly proud of it, but I'm not ashamed of it. And I lived among poor people. And that's why, personally, I resent the theories of these ungodly rascals who have got to cover up the real reason for what's going wrong today. They and their ilk have filled the hearts and the minds of American and British youth with every foul and filthy thing. And then they blame their poverty as the cause of their violence. They blame the housing as the cause of their violence. Now, I am not at all, and I think if you look at all at some of the conditions in which some of those people live, you will see that it is not a very desirable situation in which to live. And I'm not for a moment saying that it's not something that needs to be changed, but I am saying you can take a wild beast out of a filthy cage and you can put him in a beautiful park. He'll be a wild beast still. And the real trouble is the moral, the spiritual, the religious apostasy and declension of our day that has caused this society where people can hardly even walk the streets. But I want you to notice this. Shamgar was not called to lament it. Shamgar's job was not to sit back in the comfort of his own little house, twiddling his thumbs and saying, oh, isn't it terrible that there's such violence in the streets? Isn't it terrible that you can't walk the streets in safety? Isn't it terrible, if I could update it to our day and age, that we have drunkenness and we have drugs and we have wickedness and we have perversion and we have this and we have that? Isn't it awful? And throw up your hands in horror. No, sir. Shamgar, recognizing all those things, was called in that era to do a work for God. And I want to tell you, a work can be done for God in such a time. Away with the defeatism that limits God to being able to work in certain circumstances. A reincarnation, if you want, of the ancient heathen notion, he is the God of the mountains, but he's not the God of the plains. Or he's the God of the plains, but he's not the God of the mountains. He's the God who can work in the good days, but he can't work in the hard times. Let me tell you, Shamgar had a vision of a God who could work at any time. That's what we need today. Days of declension, days of violence. Chapter 5 and verse 6 again, days when God's people were reduced to walking in fear of the enemy. There's a very simple spiritual application of that. You don't find too many Christians walking at liberty nowadays. You don't find too many of God's people walking in the freedom of their salvation and walking in the victory of grace. You find Christians, rather, who are oppressed, defeated. Christians who are in turmoil. In a word, Christians who are not enjoying what Paul said, that he has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. Because they are living and walking in the fear of the enemy. Not only so, but in that same verse, if you look at the marginal rendering, you will see that they walked in crooked paths. Again, the spiritual message is so obvious I hardly need to emphasize it at all. But in this day of national declension, in this day of wicked apostasy producing a violent society that has no time for God, God's people, instead of walking in victory, are walking in fear, and more they're taking to crooked paths. And I want to tell you, there'll never be a work done for God by people who are walking crooked paths. When you have Christians abusing the day in which God expects them to serve him, oh yes, it's holy to lament these awful days in which we're living. Aren't they terrible? Sounds good. But out of the other side of our mouths, well, we wouldn't really want them any different. We are coming to terms with these days. And we're having a mighty good time to ourselves in these days. And we have Christians walking in crooked paths, accommodating themselves to the situation instead of confronting it, instead of going down on their knees to seek their God and to obtain power to do a work for God, accommodating themselves to the day in which they live and taking to the crookedness of sin. That was the era of Shamgar, an era, quite simply, as chapter 5 and verse 8 puts it, when the people chose new gods. Not a promising period. I can think of a lot better times to start out to do a work for God, but Shamgar arose to do his work anyway, and he saw God work on his behalf and on Israel's behalf through him. That was the era. Let me interject with a personal reminiscence. I'm giving my age away when I say that, not that there's any great secret about it, I'll be 434 on my next birthday. At least it feels that way sometimes. But when the Lord called me into the ministry in 1960, the Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland was so small that it made Shamgar look like a giant. The era in which we lived was an era of national declension and apostasy, great wickedness in the churches. At that time, not much open violence in the streets, but certainly the seeds were there. The wickedness of apostasy was everywhere to be found. When the presbytery accepted me as a student and a trainee for the ministry, they designated that I would start a work in a place called Sandown Road in Belfast. We had been given a little corner lot, and we were going to seek to raise a building there, and we were going to seek to raise a witness in a heavily populated area there, amidst all the difficulties. And I remember, I never actually did get to serve in Sandown Road. They moved me on to somewhere else long before they could build at Sandown, though there is now a thriving church there with David McElveen as the minister, and many of you will remember David McElveen. But I remember standing back and looking at that situation. And I'll be honest, I was scared stiff. What have we here? Nothing. Whom have we? No one. We're poor. We're few. We're derided, and the enemy is entrenched. For anybody to think that they were going to challenge the apostasy of the Irish Presbyterian Church, which is the single most important and influential church in the history of Protestantism in Ireland, it was crazy. Not a promising period. In fact, when I told the managing director of the firm that I worked in that God had called me to the ministry of that particular church, he swore at me. For my good, he thought. And as a good Presbyterian, told me to go to the Presbyterian church. Better job, better manse, better working conditions, more money. And then the devil whispers, in a bigger congregation and more influence. Compromisers never have any influence for God. Not a promising period. That was 1960. Before that decade was over, we had seen the nearest thing to revival that Ireland has had in 50 years. We have a young woman here tonight from Northern Ireland. She comes from a place called the Kingdom of Mourne. I'll not go into the reasons why it's called the Kingdom of Mourne, a town of Kilkeel. There's a thriving Free Presbyterian church and school there now doing a great work for God. There was no such place when God called me to serve, and much less expectation of it when God called the men who were in before me. But those Shamgars, thrust into that situation, had a God who could work. And in Kilkeel and in 40 to 50 other places around that country, since those days, God has raised up churches that have seen thousands saved. And a mighty testimony raised for Jesus Christ. The era in which he served. Let us take heart tonight. America is not beyond the reach of God. It is not beyond the reach of the gospel. Let us not fall into the pernicious trap of a rationalistic theology that in effect wipes out any hope because wickedness is so deeply ingrained in American culture and society today. My friend, the era in which Shamgar was called to serve was just as bad. Thank God he saw work done nonetheless.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.